Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read from that in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 6. And I actually need to pick on two guest readers. Mr. Ogden, would you mind also having Genesis 15:1 open? Mike, can I pick on you to have Proverbs 30 and verse 5? And we'll do that. So that's Genesis 15:1, Proverbs 30, verse 5. I just wanted to say real quick before we jump into the lesson, thank y'all for the invitation to be here. I don't know who bailed out and I got to fill in their spot, but they're lost and I'm just glad to be here. Let me just tell you. I'm thankful Jeff and Sarah are getting some time away and to recover. I can't even imagine like when your baby, you know, gets married and moves off that empty nest. So good for them. Good for you elders understanding that and saying, take care of you first. It's hard to pour out when you're empty, and I appreciate y'all recognizing that. My heart is full, and y'all sung it full. My heart and my soul, my spirit, every part of it. I don't know if you believe in we're two parts or three parts, but all my parts are full based on the singing this evening, and I appreciate it a lot. And a lot of my favorites got thrown in there. I can't imagine how that got done, but thank you for doing that. It's not my place to say it, but I'm going to do it anyway because Jeff's not here, okay? But if today is, you know, Steve slash Seth slash, you know, Scott, if it's the Maxwell family's last Sunday, I know it ain't my place and I'm not even a member here, but I've only known the man for a couple days and I can't imagine what's going through their mind knowing they have to leave this because this has been spectacular. And then getting to meet him and getting to meet his son and them and just getting to hang out with them, I imagine you guys are not looking forward to that moment either, but God has a plan, and you guys will be kingdom workers. I know where you're at, and Lord willing, He may bring you back home. But in all things, God will be glorified. Selfishly, they're a little closer to me, so nanner nanner to all of you guys, all right? Y'all's loss is my gain. Hey. Y'all are good people. You're different. He's a little off. Y'all admit that too, right? I mean, he's off. But that's the kind of people I'm drawn to. I mean, that's just, you know, we find each other. You know, weird people just find each other. That's just how that works. So Scripture, I want to wrap up tonight is, and we're going to talk about the shield of faith. It's kind of taking everything that we've learned about faith and then now kind of trying to activate it is kind of how I want to leave you with this weekend. Scripture refers to God Almighty as our shield. I want you to hear these passages. Listen to you, if you would, at Genesis 15 and verse 1. Abraham, or he's Abram right now, but I am your shield. Don't be afraid. I am your shield. And I don't even have time to get into it tonight, but God Himself is our reward. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but like, what do we get out of? We get God. Like, that's a freebie. Y'all can just have that one for free, but that's good stuff. God says to Abraham, I am your shield. Listen to Proverbs 30 and verse 5. God is a shield to those who take refuge. Do you see a little bit of conditionality there? He wants to be your shield. He will be your shield to those who will take refuge there. And then Ephesians 6, where I asked the rest of us, and you guys are probably familiar, that this is part of the armor of God section and how we're gonna put that on and we're gonna be able to stand firm against all these forces that come against us. And specifically Ephesians 6 and verse 16 says, above all, there's other ones that are very important, whatever, but above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Every day, we're going to be attacked by Satan's flaming darts. Every day. He's coming for us. He wants to weaken your faith. He wants to cause you to die. He wants to find a cracker in the armor and find a way to get in there. And it's different for every one of us, but he's looking for it. It might be suddenly feeling bitter when you find out someone's maybe been gossiping about you. Or maybe you're just having concerns, fear over finances, or unsettled, just overwhelmed by a tragedy or a setback in your life. Or maybe you battle depression or inner guilt or self-doubt. And all of these are different kinds of darts that Satan uses to distract you, to weigh you down, to discourage you, to encourage you to quit, to encourage you to question, is God really real? Is Jesus real? Is this worth it? The good news is that God's given you a tool, a weapon, that you can use to extinguish all of those. In every circumstance, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish these flaming darts of the wicked one. That's what we've been talking about all weekend. Faith matters. Faith is powerful. I realize on a certain level, faith is kind of an elementary study, but it's critical, it's crucial. You have to have faith that God created, that you're not an accident, that you have a purpose. You need faith that Jesus is real, that He really came and took on flesh. He was made like us so He could die for us. And in doing so, He really conquered death. You need faith in salvation. Faith in God's plan. Faith that baptism, the simple act of baptism, really does wash your sins away and put you into Jesus Christ. And you need faith in God's grace. It really is available, and it's really not dependent upon you or your perfection. It was offered because God knew that you would not be perfect. So no matter how many flaming darts Satan may fire at us or at you, or which kind works best for you personally, or which kind work best against me, the shield of faith can extinguish all of them. And that's really the simple message tonight. This is how you take everything we've talked about and you use it. But it's not going to happen automatically. Shields have to be used. They have to be taken up. You got to pick them up. You got to hold on to them. You got to hide behind them when the darts are flying and the battle is raging. And then repairs have to be made to that shield in between attacks. So how do we do that? Well, my first point is just that. It doesn't happen by accident. You have to take it up. The English Standard Version says, in all circumstances, in verse 16... The King James or New King James say, above all. The Holman Christian says, in every situation, in all circumstances, above all, in every situation. Just put all of those together. No matter what the dart is, no matter how frequently it is fired at you, in every situation, in any circumstance, above all, you better hold on to your shield. And he says that that shield is faith. And the shield he's talking about here, this is not like little old Captain America shield. I mean, he's impressive, but that little old circle, I mean, it is what it is. The shield that Paul has in mind, that his readers would have in mind, his listeners would have in mind, is that Roman shield that was your full body height that you could hide behind. You could shelter your entire body behind it. Faith serves a similar purpose in our battle with Satan. Because as one author put it, faith in itself is not a substance that has a magical sheltering property, but it is the means by which we lay hold of God and all of His promises. It's not just faith for faith. Faith is the way we access God Himself and all the promises that He's made to us. I like that. God is a shield. That's where we started with those readings. God Himself is a shield, and faith is the way that we access or take shelter in who God is and the things that He offers for us. Because God is who God is, that's why we can trust and take refuge in Him. So point one is you got to take up the shield. Don't leave home without it. Point number two is you've got to have faith. You've got to trust that the darts really can be extinguished. What do you think of? Maybe your version says quench, or maybe you got extinguished. What comes to your mind when you hear that word, quenched or extinguished? Anybody else in here watch Forged in Fire? Well, only, you know, like, all right, I got, but we're tracking. One of my last gospel meetings, I went to Ohio, and a brother found out I loved Forged in Fire, and I got to forge my own knife. That was the coolest. I felt more manly, like, you know, like the Tim, ooh, ooh, you know, I mean, like, I was, man. And you take that red hot, I mean red hot blade, and you dip it in that oil, and shh, it's cool. Or taking a torch, quenching it in water. Somebody got a little old match lit, and imagine just taking a big old, in fact, why don't you do this tonight? Have your husband have a little match, and then you take a bucket of water and just quench it. Just so you, honey, I need a picture of what quench means. Every translation on this part, every translation says, with which you can, with which you will be able. They all speak to the certainty of you can, you will be able. Trust that. You've got to trust that those darts really can be quenched. Point one is you got to take it up. And point two is you got to trust that the darts can be quenched, extinguished, put out, no more. Man, that arrow's wasted, Satan. I got that one. Quenched. Point three is any and every dart can be extinguished only by faith. Whether it's a flaming dart of bitterness or anger or sadness or doubt or guilt or temptation, let me tell you what they can't be quenched by. They can't be quenched by just trying to stop feeling bitter or stop trying to be angry. Hey, just stop being depressed. Thanks. Is that all it was? Hey, you're feeling a little bit depressed. Just stop. Oh, awesome. It can't be quenched by just look on the bright side. You know, take a deep breath and, you know, just count to 10, you know, hone into your Zen meditation. That's not how it's quenched. It can't be quenched by eating right, by diet and exercise. Thank goodness, that's not the path. Those all may sound good, and that sounds like worlds, whatever, and just what, but none of those can quench the flaming dart because none of those involve faith. None of those are connecting you to the God who has done so much for us. The only way you can quench Satan's darts is with the shield of faith. Faith in God, faith in Christ, faith in that Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Faith God created, faith Jesus is real, faith in salvation, faith in God's grace, faith that there is a heaven, that I'm going somewhere. You got to take it up. And it's the only way that all these are going to be quenched. You've got to believe they're going to be quenched, and it can only be quenched by faith. So how do you use it? The shield is a shield of faith, and faith means trusting that all that God has promised for us in Jesus Christ. What it means, brethren, is you just got to immerse yourself in who Jesus is. Hide behind Him. There's so many metaphors about, like, hide me in the cleft of the rock, you know? Takes you to that passage. It's got to be one of the most just coolest passages of Scripture where Moses is just like, I want to see your glory. I want to see God, not in some kind of theophany or reveal. I want to see you in your pure glorified state. And God says, you can't. Because if you did that, you'd die. Like, you can't be in my... So I tell you what, Moses, I'll hide you in the rock. And I'll let the wake of my glory pass by. I mean, think about the wake of God's glory just passes by. And just, not even the full, but just kind of the after effects of God's glory makes His face glow. So much so that when He comes down from the mountain, they say, you got to put something over that. That's freaking us out, Moses. I can't handle that. Hide me. Hide behind Him. And this is where this metaphor is just kind of powerful for me. When arrogance starts creeping in, and you're feeling really confident about yourself, or you're thinking your salvation is because you're so great, think of the ridiculousness of the image of bragging about how great you are while hiding behind somebody else. You know what I mean? Like at lunch the other day, when I'm around Glenn, I feel pretty confident, right? I mean, a decorated Marine, like, that man is a walking grizzly bear. Like, if we had a DNA test, I'm convinced he's part grizzly. Like, I'm, well, yeah, Hey, pick on me. I'm hiding by. Aren't I all? I'm this brave, confident guy while I'm sheltering behind somebody else. If I will boast, I will boast in Jesus Christ. Get over your pride and your arrogance and hide behind Him. Take refuge in Him. Let Him lead. Let Him be champion. God is our shield. Trust in that. That's how you stand. That's how you walk. That's how you keep from being impaled by an arrow, a flaming dart, is letting God be your shield, and faith is the access point to that. So you know what you need to do, brethren, when the darts are flying and the battle's raging? Hold on. Not go out and conquer. Not go out and slay the giant. Your job is, hold on. I've preached before. You know, how many lessons have you heard about David and Goliath, and we try to make ourselves David in that story, and so you can slay your giants? And maybe, you know, I mean, I preach that, and that's okay. I'm convinced that's not the right picture. I'm not the champion and hero of my story, not based on the New Testament. Jesus is David. You know who we are? The scared Israelites hiding out on the hill waiting for our champion to go fight for us. I'm not the hero of the story. Jesus is the hero, and I need to hide behind Him. And because He has slain the giant, now we come in for mop-up duty. That's the picture. So when the battle is raging and this enemy is there and he is attacking, hold on to your shield. Hold on to your belief in who Jesus is. Hold on to your belief in what He's done. Hold on to the truth that He is the Creator. Hold on to the truth that He walked here and He understands. And if you don't know anything else to do, if you can't do anything else, you just hold on to Him. I'm going to close with this. Faith is always lesser to greater. Trusting or believing in something bigger or better or more awesome than ourselves. And that's why it's so important that we see God for all that He is and we don't try to fashion Him in our image. You need to let God be God and see Him for who He truly is. And when you start comparing, like He invited us to, remember that very first night, all those Isaiah passed? Test, compare. Who knows the future? Who's holding who? Who's carrying who? And when you truly see God in comparison to yourself, only then will you realize there is no comparison. You'll realize your absolute poverty of spirit. And only then will you firmly take your stand behind the shield. You ever get cocky? I don't need that shield. Satan, I got you. Come on, you know, and you'd be the one that, I don't need the shield. I'm going to go fight by myself. Can I give you some old school country wisdom from the Cheney family? You ready for this? You ain't ready for this. Bananas only get peeled when they leave the bunch. Got it? You don't need to go rogue. You don't need to go solo. You don't need to go macho and think, oh, I don't need this. I don't need God. I don't need the church. I can be strong on my own. Bananas only get peeled when they leave the bunch. Hide behind Jesus. Can I tell you there's times that you need to hide behind each other? Can I tell you there's been times in my marriage that I've had to hide behind my wife or she was the strong one, and I think there's times where she's hidden behind me and I've been the strong one. We take turns. I think that's how a true marriage works. I'm not always the strong one. Do you really believe, brethren? The application of this week is not any answer I need you to give to me. But I would be tickled to death and feel like this has been a success if over the next few days you just kind of evaluate, how's my faith? How's my simple, trusting faith? Am I taking truth for granted? Have I taken these, they're just so familiar to us. Have they lost their power, these simple truths? about who God is and what He's done for you. How's your faith? How's your connection to the Lord? How strong is your shield? If it's like been broken a half and got cracks in it, then in between battles, you need to get it shored back up. You need to refashion it, fix it. Let brethren help with that. Let God help with that. And hold on to it. Take out your songbook and turn to the number that's been selected. It doesn't use the verbiage, but I see a whole lot of hiding behind Jesus in the words of the song. I peeked at it before I got up here after I saw it announced in between our singing and this. I bring my sins to Thee, the sins I cannot count, that all of them can be cleansed in this once opened fount. How many times did Jesus have to die to be effective? One time. Not over and over like the Old Testament sacrifices, once and for all. So I bring them all, Savior, to Thee. The burden is too great for me. He doesn't want you having to tote them by yourself. The burden is too great for me, so bring them. Maybe it's not sin, maybe it's grief. I bring my grief to Thee. The grief I cannot tell. The grief I can't put into words. There are no words that are needed. You know them oh so well. I think of like Romans 8, that when we don't even have the words to articulate those groanings that are within us, that's where the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. God knows. You don't even have to articulate the groanings and the grief. He already knows. So I bring the sorrow laid on me, O suffering Savior, all to Thee. And then this last verse, man, it just gets me. Got my sins, I got my burdens, I got my obstacles out of my way so I can truly see You for who You are. And so now that last line says, my life I bring to Thee. I don't want to be my own. That's the last thing. I'm not trying to be rogue, I'm not trying to be solo, I'm not trying to be lone wolf. I wouldn't be my own. Oh, Savior, let me be Thine ever, Thine alone. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Thee, my Savior and my King. I have no idea what the tune of this song is, but that message is pretty powerful. Do you need to come to the King? You need a place to take refuge? You've been tired of fighting by yourself? Tired of fighting and losing? Tired of Satan having his way? Come on up here, and we'll arm you with a shield. You can walk out of here. Maybe you can be strong enough of yourself that your family, men, can hide behind you as you carry that shield of faith as an example to them. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and while we sing.